Well, I got very good and encouraging news from Europe, from Germany. Yesterday, they had an evening meeting over 2 hours, about 2 hours, from 7:30 to 9:30, to have fellowship over the first part of Malachi during the conference. And Toby told me that there must be around over 200 of the saints coming together. And the fellowship was very touching. I think the Lord has touched the heart of so many of the dear saints who were participating in the conference. I do believe that this is definitely the speaking of the Lord for us today. In the past conferences, it is not just a topic that we are choosing to share to the brothers and sisters. And we are not, it's not about the Bible study, you know. We are here to see what the Lord has in store for us. You and I think we all want to know what the Lord is speaking to us today and what He is telling us to do, how He is leading us. It is not adequate just to know what the Bible is talking about, but it is very important for us to know what the Lord is speaking to us today. Especially at this time, we know that the signs of the times are so clear that the Lord is coming again. Right. I think not only we realize that the Lord is coming soon, but so many believers and Christians all over the country, they are talking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It seems everybody is expecting the Lord's coming. Right. But the question is, how to prepare for His coming? To know His coming is one thing, but to be ready for His coming, that's another thing. Roman numeral 4 in the outline, talking about God's warning. You know, God is giving us a lot of warning, even through what's happening today in this world. There's a lot of warning. And the word here in Malachi tells us there is severe punishment, especially to the unfaithful priests. This is why in Malachi chapter 2, it tells us to hear the word of God and to take it to heart. Don't just hear it, go home and forget about it. No, you have to take it to heart. You have to meditate on it, and then you have to repent, to turn to the Lord, and to give glory to His name. What does it mean to give glory to His name? That means to obey His word, to do it, to do what He says. And you don't just say, oh, praise the Lord, and I give glory to your name, and you don't do anything of what He says. It is not giving glory to God. That is not a way to give glory to the Lord. To give glory to the Lord is to obey and do what He says. Because if you don't, how are you going to give glory to God, you tell me? It is impossible. It is impossible to give glory to God. You'll be doing lip service. Right, don't do that. Right. And God says, if you refuse to listen, God will send a curse upon you. Now, don't ask me what a curse is. Actually, in this book of Malachi, the curse is a complete destruction. Well, take a look at the nation of Israel. Because they refuse to repent, refuse to listen to the Lord, they refuse to do whatever God says. They even did not listen to the Messiah, to the Lord who came directly to them. So what was the result? You tell me. And total destruction. Right. Even Daniel chapter 9 already talked about it. God is going to send that prince from Rome. And destroy everything. Killed so many of them. And the whole nation disappeared from the face of the map. Everything was destroyed. Utter destruction. Well, this is actually at the very end, the last verse of the book of Malachi. Now you don't want to go through this curse. This is not good. Right. And so, what the Lord is saying here in chapter 2, it is really terrible. You cannot imagine. The Lord says, He's going to throw the dung of all these sacrifices to your face. I can't imagine that God will say such a thing. He must really be disgusted with His people. You know, if you read this book and you don't feel what God is feeling, according to the word that God is speaking here, I'm going to throw dung on your face. I don't know what to say. Right? I think nothing is worse than that. Nothing is worse than that. And then He's going to throw the priests out of the temple together with the dung. Oh my goodness. You have to realize how God was so disgusted within Him. And so, if reading in the Word, we're not touched by how God is feeling, then you're not reading. I don't know what you're getting out of it. The Lord has to be speaking to us out of His heart. Right. And then this wonderful covenant with Levi, the covenant of life and peace. Life and peace. Wonderful. Right. It's all about life and it's all about peace. So if we have this covenant of Levi within the church, there will be life and peace. But look what's happening all over. What do we have? Do we have life? Are we so living, or are we dead? In your personal Christian life, tell me, every day, in your family, in our relationship with one another, parents and children at home, do you have life and peace? The life of Christ, living in us through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life within us. Right. Are you setting your mind upon the Spirit? What did Romans chapter 8 says? Life and peace. What about setting your mind on the flesh? It is death. Now you tell me, are you experiencing death? Or are you experiencing life and peace? That means the whole priesthood must be those who are living according to the Spirit. You must be a person living Christ. Right? So the Lord has to, through the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, to set us free, to liberate us from the law of sin and death. Right. So especially in the priesthood, we should put to death the deeds of the body. Because if we walk according to the flesh, Paul says, you will surely die. Spiritual death, like Sardis. You have a name that you're a Christian, but you're dead. That is not good. Right. So, praise the Lord. Then we just review quickly, the priests are the messengers of the Lord of hosts. You want to be a messenger? Then you have to be a priest. Yeah. The law of truth was in his mouth. So good to always speak the truth to one another. Remember the first fruits. What is one of these wonderful characteristics in the last of the list in verse 5? No deceit was found in their mouth. Is it possible? Really? Is it possible? You sure? You want to be the first fruits? Then speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. We're not criticizing. No, I don't like to criticize anybody, really. No. At least now in my age, to criticize anybody, no. No need to criticize anybody. But to speak the truth in love. Yeah. Don't try to speak sweet words. Paul says, let our words all the time be what? Be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Right? Every time you speak, it is for the edification of others. Yeah, to speak the truth is always good. Yeah, no lie out of our mouth. Learn this. Right. Even if people didn't want to listen, you still have to speak the truth. At most, speak nothing. But do not speak lies, no. Don't speak lies. You ask my children. Many times I told them, if you have nothing good to say about anyone, say nothing. Otherwise, you'd be criticizing people. Why criticize? Right? If you have nothing good to say, zip up your lips. Learn that. Learn that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Right. Injustice was not found on his lips. We all must be righteous, not self-righteous, remember. But Christ is our righteousness. Be righteous according to Christ. Let Christ be your righteousness. Because even if I'm right, I'm still wrong because my person is not right. That is why, by the work of the law, no one is justified. Don't think you're justified because, hey, your opinion is right. No. God doesn't look at your opinion, but at you, your person. Right? So injustice was not found on his lips. My, what we speak is very important. and he walked with God. Remember Enoch. Everybody wants to be raptured. Don't you want to be raptured? Really? Yeah. So what should you do? Walk with God. Remember Enoch. Yeah, we have a brother in Mountain View, right? In the Bay Area. His name is Enoch. It's a very good name. And I hope he walks with God. Don't just have a name, but not walk with God. Okay. And turn many away from iniquity. Praise the Lord. That means we ourselves must walk in righteousness, in peace, and with uprightness. Right. Anyone who walks with God, you can know by peace and uprightness. If somebody is always arguing and fighting and always doing something that caused troubles and always questioning and always criticizing, and that person is definitely not walking with God. He's walking according to the flesh. But he walked with God in peace and uprightness. No screaming, no shouting. Uprightness. Praise God. If you're such a person, then you can turn many people away from iniquity. You can save people, not just by preaching the gospel. Right. Even your presence alone, people will quiet down. Really, it's not just by your speaking. But if you're such a person, you will help many, even in your company, to turn away from iniquity. That means when you are there, they're afraid to do bad things. They're afraid to do bad things. Praise God. But I don't know what's going to happen behind your back, but if you're there, they behave, right? They behave. And the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, the proper knowledge, not dead doctrines, right? It is the knowledge of the Lord, right? To know him. This is why we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation, to know him. To know the Lord in person. I have some knowledge of Vince, not from books, right, but because, yeah, I know his person. We know one another. Yeah. And of course, we need to know the Word of God and to apply it in a proper way. Right? Then people can get the help from you, especially those who are seeking. There are a lot of seeking people, actually. But unfortunately, they are seeking in the wrong place. I know a lot of seeking Christians who ended up somewhere else because they are seeking in the wrong place. And then after you stay there for 5 years and you know you're in the wrong place, 5 years are gone. You know, five precious years. Can you imagine? I know saints who stayed in a place for 40 years and then at the end of 40 years they found out, oh my goodness, I'm in the wrong place. That's not good. So you should pray to the Lord, "Lord, I'm seeking after you. I want to know you, not doctrines, not what people are saying. But seek first in the Word of God. Read the Bible yourself. Right. The Holy Anointing will teach you. The Holy Anointing will teach you if you have a seeking heart. Right. Praise the Lord. I hope that we are those who can help those who are seeking after Him. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, the priesthood degraded. It's very easy to be degraded or to be stuck in a certain level and you don't go up. Right. Which grade are you now, Emmanuel, in school? 10th. Wow. Almost junior high. You're going to high school, right? Junior high. High school. Wow. Don't get stuck in grade 10. You have to go on. You have a lot to learn. Don't think you already know everything. You know everything? Oh, so go on. Don't get stuck. Spiritually, don't get stuck. I don't want to get stuck. I always ask the Lord, Lord, what's next? How should we go on now? Right. How are you going to lead us on? A lot of people are very happy with where they are, and they became old, and they cannot change anymore. Right? I always got encouraged by Paul's word in Philippians, right? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Paul, you mean to say you still did not reach the goalposts? No, I'm pursuing. I'm pressing toward the mark. Right. Impossible that we know everything today. No. Our heart must be a seeking heart. All the time seeking until we reach the goal. Until we see Him face to face. Don't think we already know everything, and just do every week what we've been doing all the past 20, 40 years, right, and 50 years. It's hard to change, but you have to be very open for new things of the Lord, what the Lord is doing. Look, people are driving today electric cars. And then tomorrow you'll be driving a flying car. Things are changing all the time. Right. Because there's always room for development, for progress, spiritual progress. Don't get stuck like Laodicea. Well, we know everything. We lack nothing. Well, I heard that from saints who says, oh, we don't need any more new revelation. We'll just warm up the old soup. Really, I've heard that. They got stuck. They got stuck. Don't get stuck. Right. Once you don't go on, you will backslide and you will become corrupted. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right. And you will even persecute those who want to go on. Yeah. So may the Lord have mercy on us. And then we have seen how if the priesthood is corrupted, then the whole nation will be corrupted. Look what's happening to this country. The administration is corrupted. so evil nowadays, and what's happening to this country. Right. And you have to realize this is getting global. That is a sign of times that the Lord is coming. Right. This word global, they want to have one world government. Oh my, they are developing. Evil is developing. Wickedness is growing and becoming more and more terrible. And now they're up in the open. Yeah, they're out in the open. And they're not even ashamed to show themselves their true colors. They're not even ashamed. And why are we ashamed to be the priest, to tell the truth, and to testify to people concerning this wonderful God? Are you ashamed? Right? We need to be courageous. And they are getting more wicked, and we should be getting more holy, more righteous, more glorious. Yeah. I don't care if others don't want to, but we, the few of us, we want to be more glorious and more holy and righteous. God's people must be a holy seed. You know, can you imagine if millions of Christians today are a holy nation? Wow, my goodness, the whole world will be subdued. But we are so unholy, just like them. We are worldly. We love the world, and we are just self-centered, self-righteous. No, we're not a living testimony. And Malachi told us, if we are really a holy and royal priesthood, oh, God will be great among the nations. His name will be great among the nations. Yeah. But what did the Bible say? Because of you, my name is being blasphemed in the whole world. Yeah. Unfortunately, it is like that. That's why Satan, in his fallen wisdom, right, has corrupted the church. At the end, it becomes a great, big, terrible, corrupted Catholicism in the name of Christ. Can you imagine if people in the world talks about Christianity, what do they see? The first thing that comes to their head is Vatican. And those people are worshiping Satan, actually. And so we need to shine. We need to be Zion today. Praise the Lord. Amen. You need to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, the golden shining lampstand. Don't just be confined in our little meeting and then go home and that's it, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, this is just a little review as a continuation, right? And then the last part of chapter 2. Let us go to the last part of Malachi chapter 2, right? Yeah, the Lord again said, you have wearied the Lord, Malachi says, with your words. Well, what did they say? In what way? In what way? They're not even admitting, okay, Right. They are not even conscious of what they are doing. In what way have we wearied him? Well, in what way? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Look at these terrible people. How come the Lord didn't do anything to them? Have you ever said that? Those terrible people, look, they are thriving. They are even billionaires. They got everything. And how come the Lord didn't judge them? And we? How come they are driving Tesla and I'm driving a bicycle? If you say like that, you're worrying the Lord. Lord, where is your justice? How come you didn't stop them? I say that many times and I'm wearying the Lord. The Lord will say, stop wearying me. Well, judgment is really coming. Just wait and see. Just you wait. It is coming because our God is the God of judgment. He is a just God. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. He's just waiting for a cup of this iniquity running over. And it is running over maybe one more millimeter. You think so? You don't think so? Yeah. Sometimes I ask the Lord, really, you ask the Lord. Did John really ask you? Ask him. Yeah. Is it not bad enough? Can it get even worse? I ask him. Yeah. My wife can tell you. Well, really, how can we not react when we see so many terrible things going on in this world? Right. Yeah, and a lot of people will say, well, look, nothing happens. You said the Lord is coming soon. How come he's not coming? Well, such kind of a saying, you're wearying the Lord. In effect, you are saying everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Because, hey, how come the Lord is not doing anything? Well, he must be sitting there just listening to angelic concerts and forget about what's happening in the U.S. today. Maybe he delights in them. Well, that's what he says. Or, where is the God of justice? Have you ever asked God that? Where is your justice? How come this? And how come that? Have you ever thought a little bit about that? Not just a little bit, right? Well, you just wait. Just you wait. It's coming. It is coming. You just wait. It is coming. It is coming. People told me, well, you said it's coming. How come? Well, how come? Just wait. Be a little patient. Be a little patient. Really, we are so impatient. You just wait. You just wait. And I really mean it. You just wait. Yeah, the Lord is also getting impatient. You just wait. Yeah. Soon it is coming. That's why we go to Roman numeral 9, prophecy concerning the sudden coming of the Lord, the sudden coming. I like the word suddenly. Suddenly, the time you're not expecting, and then you're saying, ah, he's not coming back. Let us relax. Forget about the priesthood now. Useless to do it. The Lord is not coming yet. Then he suddenly appear. What are you going to do? The Lord is going to appear suddenly, suddenly. Behold, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly, I like that word, suddenly, that means at a time that you do not expect, then he will come. But it's better that we are expecting him. Just like the saints in the early age, they're all expecting the Lord to suddenly appear. This is the proper attitude of all those who are waiting for him. Right? But if your heart is evil, you will say, huh? Oh, don't worry, Naomi, the Lord's not coming yet. You still have time. Well, let me tell you. Well, you don't know how much time you may have. Yeah. So the prophecy concerning the sudden coming of the Lord. And first of all, it talks about, I will send my messenger. Remember, before the Lord comes, he always will send his messenger. Doesn't need many messengers. In his first coming, he sent only one special one, John the Baptist. He sent John the Baptist. Isaiah prophesied that in chapter 40, right? Right. He's the voice in the wilderness. Prepare ye, make straight the crooked path of the Lord, make straight the way of the Lord. Today, everything is more crooked than ever before. Everything is just crooked. You tell me one thing that is not crooked today. The mainstream media is so crooked. The social media is so crooked. The government is so crooked. Many Christians group and leaders are so crooked. They're crooks. The entertainment is crooked. Hollywood is crooked. Right? The government is crooked. The governor is crooked. The Senate is crooked. The Congress is crooked. Oh, praise the Lord, BJ. Right? You tell me what is not crooked. Tell me what is not crooked. Yeah, even the vaccine is crooked. Everything is crooked. But what about us? What about us? Right. Don't think, oh, don't talk about the world. Some people are criticizing me. Oh, you talk too much about politics and what's happening in the world today. Well, I talk too much, really? How are you going to make straight the way of the Lord if you don't know what's going on? Right. Or you feel very comfortable in this crooked world. Well, if you don't feel comfortable, then you have to have a reaction in you, right, considering what's going on today. No, we cannot, because we are a righteous people. We are a holy people. We are a people of truth. But all around us are lies and more lies, and nobody's speaking the truth. Yeah. Right. So the Lord has to make us his messengers, to make straight the path of the Lord, to prepare the Lord's coming again. It's not just we are preparing ourselves, no, but we are preparing for him to come back again. But there's no difference. On one hand, we are preparing for his coming. But on the other hand, we are preparing his coming. If you criticize us for, the Lord is not coming, then it's your fault because you're not preparing his way. And you're not preparing yourself. And the bride is not prepared for his coming, so who are you blaming? You prefer for him to come tomorrow? Are you ready? If he appears tomorrow? Nobody dares to say, because we are not ready. Yeah, because we are not. Right. So we are preparing his way for him to come. And at the same time, you're preparing yourself for his coming. This is both ways. Yeah. Right. It's not just preparing yourself. Right. So he will prepare the way before me. I like that word. It's not that he's preparing himself for my coming, because he's so afraid. No, but he's preparing my way. He's preparing the way before me. It is even more wonderful. Isn't it a privilege? But then, if you want to be such a person, you have to be today in the spirit and power of Elijah. How about that? Because during the day of Elijah, have you ever read a Bible concerning the time of Elijah? No? If you haven't, I advise you all to read again. And there is a terrible woman called Jezebel. Oh, he is so terrible. Right, and he corrupted whole nations and brought in idols there and tried to kill all the prophets and doing all this crazy thing. And then the king Ahaz, oh, goodness sake. Right, and whole Israel at that time is so corrupt. And many of the remaining prophets are in the hiding. They're so afraid. So there's only one who was not afraid. One. The rest are hiding in a cave somewhere. And here is Elijah. He challenged the priests of Baal. You know the story. My, what a spirit. What power. God was with him. The legion of angels and, my goodness, fire came down from heaven. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to speak the truth? Of course, don't challenge them in the flesh. You challenge them in the spirit. Paul says, our weapon is not mighty in the flesh, but mighty in God. It's a spiritual weapon to tear down all these imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against God. You must be ready. If people laugh at God, you should say, what is that? Right. You should be able to give a reply. in the spirit, in a peaceful way, even in a loving way, hoping to turn this person to the Lord, not in an arguing way and fighting way, especially with your parents, right? And our family members, well, right? Yeah. Arguing will not turn your family members. I have seen that. Yeah. And I've tried that. And I've learned not to. But praise the Lord, one after another, they are turning to the Lord. Right? So we have to be that messenger of the Lord today. Oh, it would be wonderful if there are so many messengers today. Wow, preparing the way of the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Right. Meaning to say, you must have a very close relationship with the living God, with Christ, and with the Father. And you must be a person walking according to the Spirit and walking according to the truth, like John says, that he is so happy to hear that his children are walking according to the truth. Right. In the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Right. That is in the first coming of the Lord. The priests and the people are asking John, are you Elijah? Because he looks like Elijah. At least his clothes looks like Elijah. Right? You know, and he absolutely doesn't fit in the tradition of Judaism in those days. Are you fitting into the world? If you look like people in the world, then you cannot be Elijah. Right? If you are in the fashion of the world, then goodness. Right? So read it in a word. I don't have to talk about that. I think you all know the word, so I don't need to get into it. But he is a person who speaks the truth. He is not afraid. He is bold. Even Paul prayed. Pray for me, he says, that I will speak at the opening of my mouth with boldness the mystery of God, the truth, the mystery of Christ, in boldness, yeah, with boldness and yet in love. Right. Yep. Do that. Praise the Lord. Practice boldness. Yeah, I did that. You need to practice courage. Courage that doesn't just come by itself. Oh Lord, amen. In the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Are you Elijah? John says, no, I'm not. Are you that prophet? He says, no, I'm not, because he really is not outwardly as the person, but the Lord says he is the coming of Elijah, but in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. And this is wonderful. Right. And that's what we need today for the second coming of the Lord. Amen. For the second coming of the Lord. Yeah, then the Lord will suddenly come. And first time, hey, he suddenly came. And they missed his first coming. Nobody was expecting him to come. Only a few was expecting him to come. Yep. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, those who are seeking him, not too many, right? will suddenly come to his temple. He is not just coming to Israel. He is coming to his temple, to his building. So one way to prepare is to build the house of the living God. The right one. Not just anyone, okay? To build the living house of God. Even the messenger of the covenant. Praise the Lord. Even the Lord himself in his first coming, he is sent by God as a messenger. He's the sent one. He's the real apostle. He's sent by God to accomplish redemption and to bring in the new covenant. He has a job to do. Right? Don't think that he just came and just to do whatever he wants to do. No. No, a messenger is not one who does what he wants to do. You're working for Apple. Can you do whatever you want to do in Apple? You'll be eating apple every day and you'll be fired if you're just doing that, eating apple. You're hired to do a job and you do it. If you do something else, you're finished with the company. Yeah. Suppose your employees there are doing something else in your shop, then what are you going to do with them? Send them home. Yeah, exactly. The Lord was the faithful witness, the faithful messenger of the Lord. You know, to be faithful to what the Lord has committed for you to do. But you have to know what he wants. Don't just guess. Don't just ask somebody else, oh, what do you think my function is? Oh, the pastor will tell you, oh, your function is to be a cook for me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, his function is to do this. And I heard one elder talking about a tall sister. There was a very tall sister in the church. Oh, your function, your ministry, your function is to clean my chandelier in my house because you're so tall. Right? Ask my wife. That's her ministry. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it, but hey, you might not believe it, but I heard it, okay? I saw it. I was there, somewhere in the East Coast. Well, we have to know the Lord, and I really mean it. Ask the Lord. Don't ask people. They don't know what they're going to tell you. You ask the one who sent you. Right? Don't be sent by somebody. No, you're sent by him. Sent by him. If you're sent by him, he'll tell you what to do and you won't go wrong. Seek after him. He is the messenger of the covenant. My. This is why we have the new covenant today, because the Lord was so faithful. Through his sacrifice of himself, obedient unto the death on the cross, faithful to the Father, he was able to accomplish wonderful redemption, to end the old covenant, to fulfill every righteous requirement of God, and to bring in the new covenant that we are enjoying today. If the Lord is not a faithful witness, you won't have a new covenant today. Now, what time do we have? We start at 5:30 to what, 7? Oh, so I still have a few minutes, right? He is the messenger of the covenant. So his forerunner was a faithful messenger, and he was also a faithful messenger. Faithful unto death. Don't change your mind. Don't change job. Don't change company. Oh, Lord God, but you have to be in the right company, okay? Otherwise, you'll keep on changing. Yeah. But if you're in the wrong place, come out of her, my people. If you're in the wrong company, come out, okay? Come out of her, my people. Oh, amen. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord brought in the new covenant. But remember, he needs John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Right? And one of the major, major work of God is to bring in the new covenant and to bring in the kingdom of the heavens, a new age. Now, you have to realize the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus is bringing in another new age. First, you have the age of the old covenant. Then it is over. The Lord brought in the new covenant. And then at the very end, in his second coming, he is going to bring in a new age, the millennial kingdom. Are you prepared for that? Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right. John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of heavens is at hand. The Lord preached the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And his disciples preached exactly the same. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Now, how about you? What do you preach? No, I think you even do not use the word repent. You just say, believe in the Lord Jesus. Then your sins will be forgiven. And you will not go to hell, and you'll go to heaven. Is that your gospel? Then you are a wrong messenger. That's a wrong messenger. You have the wrong message. Well, I'm not saying it's absolutely wrong, but it is just a small portion. You don't give the whole message to the people. You don't even talk about, right, being transferred from out of the power of an authority of darkness into the kingdom, right? Paul preaches that. And then to receive an inheritance with all the saints together in the light. You don't preach inheritance. Do you preach the inheritance when you preach the gospel? You do. Now you do. Wow. Wonderful. Yes. The wonderful inheritance. My. Paul, who preached this wonderful inheritance, to open the eyes of the people who were in darkness, to see the great light. Right. Anyway, praise the Lord. We need to be those who are preparing the way of the Lord before him, and now it's before his second coming. John the Baptist prepared before his first coming. Now we are preparing before his second coming. Right. And the disciples asked the Lord Jesus. I added more verses, actually, but you look it up yourself. But how come the scribe says Elijah should be coming first? The Lord says, yeah, Elijah will be coming first. He already came. But he came in the spirit and the power. But Elijah is still coming. You may not believe that, but it's okay if you believe it or not. Right. But the first coming of Elijah is in the spirit and power, and in John the Baptist. The Lord says, if you will, if you understand it, he is the coming of Elijah. And they did whatever they want to do with him, and now they're going to do whatever they want to do with me. They got rid of John the Baptist, and now they're going to get rid of me, right? And the purpose is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. How do you understand that? Ah, not easy. Does it mean that, oh yeah, every family is going to be at peace with one another? But the Lord says the difference. The Lord says, I'm coming not to bring peace, I'm coming to bring a sword, and the father will be against the children, children against the father, and the mother-in-law against the son-in-law, whatever. Oh my goodness, what is that? Now you tell me. What is that? What is that? Well, if you turn to Luke chapter 1, let us turn to Luke chapter 1, okay? Yeah, we have a verse there. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, right, to 17. Okay, talking about John the Baptist, right? The angel was telling Zechariah, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Wow, wonderful. My, amazing, huh? I wish all the children of the saints were like that. Yeah, that would be great, huh? From the mother's womb. Well, Paul said he was chosen from the mother's womb. And he will turn what? To? Who is the father? And who are the children? Right. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, the second part is interesting. And the disobedient, who are the disobedient? The fathers? Well, who? The children, of course. Yeah, the children. Right? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Now, who is the one who has the wisdom? And who is so righteous, the wisdom of the just. Right. Right. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wonderful. To make the long story short, in the book of Malachi, who is the father there? In chapter 1, what does the Lord say? I'm your father. I'm your father. Right? And where is my honor? How come you don't revere me? You don't respect me? Why don't you give me the honor? You are the disobedient children, right? This priesthood, they're so disobedient. They're so corrupt. They don't respect the father. And you brought to me all this thing, right? Right? Am I not your father? And what about their fathers, the patriarchs? What about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel? They're God-fearing people. They're the one who kept the covenant. But you, from the days of your father until now, you rebellious, you did not keep my covenant, the Lord said to them in Malachi. You broke my covenant. You did whatever you wanted. You're disobedient. You're rebellious. Right. And so to prepare is to really, actually, it was God's right to judge them, to put a curse on them, because they are disobedient children. And the children, they don't care to keep God's covenant. Right. So when the Lord came the first time and through the preparation of John the Baptist, it was to bring God and his children back together. Yeah. Otherwise there would be judgment. But what happened? They will not turn to God. So the curse came upon them after the first coming of the Lord Jesus. The whole nation, the whole temple, the whole city, Jerusalem, everything was destroyed. Yeah. But praise the Lord for the Gentiles, for us. Right. We turn to the Lord, and the Lord turned to us. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Right. So, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then it says here, and to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous one, the just one. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But you have to realize that during the time of the prophets in the Old Testament days, they don't realize that there's going to be an age of 2,000 years of the new covenant. They didn't realize that. They didn't realize that there are going to be two comings. But now we know the first coming and the second coming. We know. Well, praise the Lord. But at that time, they don't know. Even Daniel didn't know when he wrote in Daniel chapter 9. That is why between the 69th week and the 70th week, you don't see the gap there in Daniel chapter 9. Because they're expecting the 70th week to be right there continued. But they didn't know at that time. Right. So now we're expecting the 70th week, the final week to happen. That's the last 7 years divided into 3.5 and 3.5. That is the 70th week. Right. And so here in the book of Malachi is the same. He did not realize. And that is why if we go to chapter 3, back to Malachi chapter 3, right? In verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire. Well, this is the Lord. When he first appeared, he appeared like a fire burning up everything. No, he didn't. Well, they didn't realize in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, what did he say there? Behold, your king cometh with fire. No, with what? Lowly, riding in his fiery chariot. The call of a donkey bringing salvation. Bringing salvation lowly. That was the first coming to bring in redemption, to be slaughtered as a lamb. He didn't come as a lion to devour everything. He came lowly, riding on a donkey. Yeah, bringing redemption. To be a lamb, to be slaughtered. Right, to shed his precious blood, the blood of the covenant. This is his first coming. But in Malachi, you don't see that. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can endure? Who can endure? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Did that happen in his first coming? Well, it is the beginning of the process. He didn't do that right away. Well, it has to start somewhere. Right, it has to start somewhere. So, but the first coming, he is a messenger of the covenant to bring in the kingdom of the heavens as life and peace. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of grace and truth. Right, to give us life, to bring peace, to bring in redemption. The kingdom today is not by observation. The first coming is to bring in the kingdom in you. Behold, the kingdom is within you today. This is the first coming of the Lord. It's not you to chop and to destroy everything and right and right away to bring in a kingdom of righteousness. No, definitely not that way. Right. And to really turn the hearts. The gracious God to bring in forgiveness. Right, to bring in the grace, mercy and grace. To those who turn to him, right? And to turn us as the rebellious ones, right? To turn us into the gift and to make us into the members of the body of Christ to build up his temple. This is his first coming. Wonderful. This is why we have life and peace today. Isn't it wonderful? Right, or you prefer to have fire in your family. Only in the fireplace, okay. Don't burn down the house. Right. But in his second coming, it is for refining and judgment. For refining and judgment. Oh Lord, amen. Right. This is why today, actually, we have to experience the refining, like what Peter says. Let's turn to Peter chapter 1. Yeah. Yeah, 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, we have it here. Verse 6 to 7, right? Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if it need be, you think it needs be? Yeah. We need it? Who didn't need it? Who doesn't need it? Yeah. If it need be, that means you need it. You have been grieved by various trials. It's good because we need it in the homes. This is why the home life is a place of trial for the parents as well as for the children. Right? Or is it just for the children, not for the parents? Oh, yeah. It's for both sides, right? Right. If it need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Amen. That's the only way to really test it. That's the only way to test gold and silver by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the revelation at the second coming, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, at his coming, at his revelation. So don't complain. You should be very thankful for everything that happens in the past. It's really wonderful. Really wonderful. It's I'm not saying that it's only grievous trials, okay? There are also nice memories of the past, right? But there are also fiery trials, which is very good, because it is necessary to refine us. Otherwise, we'll be just like a wild donkey, like Ishmael. You know, that's what Ishmael really means, a wild ass donkey. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could tame the flesh. Don't think you could tame the flesh. Try to tame those dems there. You cannot tame them. Yeah. And Esau is not much better. He's also a wild person. Right. Yeah. Remember Esau and Jacob, right? So we do need it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Be open. Ask the Lord, Lord, refine me by your life today. Amen. Right. On one hand, it is by the life. But on the other hand, it is by circumstances. It is necessary. I need it. I don't know if you need it. Do you need it? Oh, yeah. I need it just as much as you need it. We all need it. Right. So there's a fireplace in every home. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about the fireplace. I'm talking about the other kind of fireplace. The invisible fireplace. To really make us precious. You just do not realize, dear saints, how fallen our nature is. You think you are very refined, you're very educated. You think, oh, you're a college student. Oh, you already graduated. Oh, you're already working. Oh, you're a gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we all think we are. Until something happens and the donkey comes out. The rebellion came out. Ishmael appeared. We do need to be tested by fire, that we may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Believe me, Vince, there is no other way. No shortcut. No other way. I wish there were, but there is none. Remember what Paul says, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Yeah, you don't surf into the kingdom. You don't roll into the kingdom. All right, but praise the Lord for his wonderful grace. Grace does not mean that, oh, it's all free. No, 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 nothing is free. It comes with fire to train us. Otherwise, you will not be found to praise, honor, and glory. Right? So praise the Lord. It's a wonderful trial. That is why my heart is not bitter when I look back. No, I'm not bitter at anything. Really, really. I feel sorry for a lot of people, but I'm not bitter. I'm thankful. Yeah. I even one time told a brother who is going there, right, to say, oh, please, when you see that certain brother, say, John says, thank you very much. Because it really helps me to enter into the kingdom. Hey, we need to be thankful. Everything worked out for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his divine plan and purpose. It's not according to our concept. Right. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Go on. Yeah. Don't look back. Yeah. If you look back, just be thankful that it all happens. Praise the Lord and go on. Don't say, oh, how horrible. No, so how wonderful. And go on. Don't look back. Whatever it is, you just go on to the goal. Okay, we need the purifying, and tomorrow we'll have more fellowship about it. I think it's very important. Okay, time is up. And, yeah, just... Oh, okay. One more sentence. Okay. Just one more. Can you still wait for one more minute? Yeah. Okay. Right. And point C here, the reason why God did not fully consume the sons of Jacob, why he did not consume us, although we are so terrible, is because God does not change his mind concerning you. Once he saved you, you will never lose your salvation. Because the calling of God is irrevocable, unchangeable. He's going to make it with you by any means, through fire, okay. He's going to make it with you. He's not going to change his mind. He is God. He does not change. He's the perfect I am. He doesn't make mistakes. Oh, I chose this young man here. I made a mistake. God will not say I made a mistake. No, he did not make a mistake. If I looked at me in my past, I thought, oh, God, you made a mistake. You chose the wrong guy. Well, no, God was saying, no, 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 I didn't make a mistake. He didn't. So you think he made a mistake choosing you? He did not make a mistake. He will make it with you to the goal. You have to trust in the living God. The God who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will not go back. He will not change his mind. He is not a man like us. We change our mind In the morning, we are like that. In noontime, we change our mind. And in the evening, we say, we're not going to have dinner, and we end up having a big one. And we change our mind in everything. We change our mind. But God never changed his mind. I'm glad he didn't. Because if he did, I won't be having fellowship with you on Malachi. Praise the Lord for such a wonderful God. A wonderful God. Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Huh? Let's have some prayers. Well, I want to encourage everybody that the delay or any delay of the Lord is because of his mercy, because we need more time.
That's okay. Right. That's right.
But in reality, the election right here in the U.S. is not over yet. Because a forensic auditing proving that there was fraud in the election. So actually, Trump won the election. But because of the unusual happening in this election, it has to be proven, and the truth has to come out. So, and it is coming out very soon. So just wait and be patient. We cannot give you a new date, but we are all waiting that the legitimate president will be reinstated. That's all I can say to everybody. Okay? Is it clear?
Yeah.
Be patient and wait. The Lord knows when the best time is. Meanwhile, a lot of things are being exposed worldwide. And this is important also. You have to realize before judgment time, all these things must be exposed, must come to light. This is important for judgment. And this is happening today. So be patient. Trust in the one sitting on the throne.
Amen.
Trust in the one sitting on the throne.
Amen.
The Lord is the ruler over the kings of the earth.
Amen.
Read Psalm 47. I believe it is Psalm 47.
Yeah.
It's a very important psalm. The Lord God is the king over the whole earth. Don't think he just let anything happen without meaning. No. The Lord knows everything that is going on. So we are waiting for his appointed time.
Amen.
He is the only wise God, and he knows when the judging time will be. Now, let me read it to you. It says, clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands. Right? Don't weep, but clap your hands. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. A voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. His great king is a great king over all the earth, and he will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. So God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises.
Sing praises, O King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding.
Amen.
You have to understand God's way. Then you will not be frustrated. Mm-hmm. But we all know, without doubt, that the time is very near.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is the signs of the times today, you can see. So many things are happening. So many things. Worldwide. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the update.
Amen.
This is the update.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.